Regardless of what we might think or feel about the Apostle Paul, we've had different ideas about him through the years and the centuries. Nevertheless, he was one great prayer. And so I've chosen two prayers, and we're using the Inclusive Bible today from the letter to the people in Ephesus, the Ephesians. And if you will note in these prayers that Paul offers, Paul's not so much asking that God meet people's needs. Actually, he is asking that they meet people's needs, but that they become aware of God's presence in their lives and what God can do for them. So we read from the letter to the Ephesians. From the time I first heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of the holy ones, I have never stopped thanking God for you and remembering you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation to bring you to a rich knowledge of the Creator. I pray that God will enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope this calls See the hope this call holds for you, the promised glories that God's holy ones will inherit, and the infinitely great power that is exercised for us who believe. You can tell this from the strength of God's power at work in Jesus, the power used to raise Christ from the dead and to see Christ in heaven at God's right hand, far above every sovereignty, authority, power, or dominion, and above any other name that can be named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. God has put all things under Christ's feet and made Christ as the ruler of everything, the head of the church, and the church is Christ's body. It's the fullness of the one who fills all of creation. And then we hear from Ephesians 3. By the way, I put these as an insert in your bulletin today so that you can take them home and reflect on them because they're awesome prayers. And so we hear from Ephesians 3 now. That is why I kneel before Abba God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, and I pray that God, out of the riches of divine glory, will strengthen you inwardly with power through the working of the Spirit. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, will be able to grasp fully the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ's love, and with all God's holy ones, experience this love that surpassed all understanding, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To God, whose power now at work in us can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, world without end. Amen. A word from our Holy Scripture. Inherent to every human being is a spiritual nature. We talked about this in January where we talked about spirituality. But inherent to each one of us is this spiritual nature, longing to be connected to something greater. There's that longing within every human being for something greater. I don't know if you've done any reading on this, but you know that some scientists have tried to discover whether human beings really have a soul that you can measure by actually measuring their weight before they die and afterwards to see if something measurable leaves them. I don't think they found anything because the soul, that longing, that desire in us cannot be seen or measured, but it can be experienced through our desire for something more, something greater, something we cannot find in ourselves. That we call the soul, that which longs, desires something else. And also inherent to all life, to the entire universe, to all things, is this power and potential that is so intoxicating and compelling that it can change our lives and change the world. So what we have humans with this soul longing for something, and we have also this power and potential that we call God that we can connect to. And it's so compelling that it can change the world when we make those connections. When our souls profoundly connect to God, the result is transformative, energizing, explosive, even. So I wondered to myself this week why so few people experience that kind of connection, perhaps even in churches. Why aren't we being energized by our connection to God? What's holding us back from a transformative experience of the holy? I believe that we're not engaging in the practices that have been around for centuries that connect us to that power, to God. And we need to recover some of those practices. Jesus' purpose was to reorient our minds and our hearts, to connect us to God in such a way that we not only could be changed, but the world could be changed through people who give themselves to that higher purpose, to God. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "You must be the change you want to see in the world." We're the ones who need to be changed in order for the world to be changed. In the early days of the church, the world did change through people who radically envisioned another way and began to see reality as something totally different than what they had understood until that point. They demonstrated, those early Christian disciples, that sacrificial love was the only force that could move us into a new way of being, a way that welcomed strangers and generously gave, a way that promoted justice and love for enemies, and a way that promoted hope for a better future. Here's the thing. If Jesus wanted us to change and wanted the world to change, then we could expect that he actually gave us the means for change. Could we not? Does that make sense? That if he expected that to happen in our lives, that he somehow modeled and gave us what we needed to change. That would make sense. Jesus lived and taught that connecting with God not only transformed lives and the world, but led us deeply into that power, that potential and peace that gave life its ultimate purpose and meaning. Jesus showed us how to have such profound experiences of the holy that life could be forever altered. And it was for those early disciples. Is that happening for us? If we look at Jesus' life in Scripture, he actually taught or modeled very few things that would have that kind of effect on our lives. Read about his life and see what it is that he taught or modeled. And yet, they were enough, these few practices. And these are the practices that Jesus taught or modeled. Simplicity. Giving up the trappings of the world for a life that was dedicated to God. Living simply. He modeled that from the very beginning. Second, community. Living in relationship with others so that we could gain their support, encouragement, and we could grow in community with each other. Simplicity, community, love for your neighbor, sacrificially giving your life for the sake of others, which was his ultimate goal. And prayer, cultivating a deep connection with God. The foundation of his life and what he did with it were based on these practices, simplicity, community, loving your neighbor, and prayer. And I think if we endeavored to engage these practices in a deep way, we also would find our lives transformed. Eventually, in our theme cycle for the next few years, we're going to cover all of these practices, but we start this month with the practice of prayer, which I think is the foundation of all of the practices. Jesus' disciples begged him to teach them to pray, and he did, the result being what we call the Lord's Prayer or the prayer that Jesus taught. I also put a version of that in your bulletins on an insert. I invite you to take that out and keep that, maybe meditate on that, and we're going to use it as the Lord's Prayer that we're saying during the prayers of the people today. We too long for instruction in prayer, ways of being that will invite us into a living relationship with God. And there are few tools better than prayer for doing this. What is prayer? How do we do it, and how can it make a difference, not only in our lives, but in the world? These are the questions that we will be exploring through this month of March. But first, I'm going to make a confession. I struggle with prayer at times. I have a tough time with prayer at times. It can become repetitive, dull, lifeless, and boring, I confess. I can often think of a better or at least more interesting thing to do than pray on any given day. When your life gets busy, that's the one you can skip, so I think. It's a discipline that we're not all that excited to cultivate, as we don't see it as very productive or energizing for our lives. It becomes something that we're supposed to do rather than something we want to do or enjoy doing. And life, quite frankly, and I'll be honest, seems to go along without the need to pray. So we leave it off our to-do list unless we're in a crisis or we need or want something. And occasionally, when we're particularly thankful, we'll throw out a little, thanks, God. Otherwise, life goes on and our relationship with God sits on the back burner with perhaps a little guilt that'll eventually go away. And if our spiritual life suffers, oh well, no one seems to really take notice of that. Ultimately, we stop, and people will stop religious life altogether because it doesn't seem to offer much. And maybe that's because we're missing out on that deep, transformative engagement with the holy. And yet for others, I know some of you, prayer is vital and enriching and transformative and exciting. Why is that? We may chalk it up to those people who are more spiritual than us, or who have the gift of prayer, or are professional prayers, like clergy. Rightly, you're professional prayer, yeah. I confess that my last job, I almost didn't take a job in the church, or work in the church, because I was afraid that I was going to have to pray in church publicly or in a staff meeting. And I didn't want to have to do that. The thing is that many of us, if we grew up as Protestant Christians, grew up thinking that there was only one way to pray. And it was this. Sit quietly, or kneel if you wanted to. Close your eyes. And speak either silently or out loud to God. And usually what we were told, we either asked for things that we wanted or needed. We were supposed to give thanks for the good things in our lives and in the world. And then we'd ask God to fix the bad things. We might throw in a little prayer that we'd learned. Now I lay me down and sleep, I pray, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Terrible prayer for children, if I should die before I wake. And then we'd say, thy will be done, thanks God, amen. Done. on with life. And let's hope that God's there and listening and doing something, because we're never quite sure about that one. What if prayer, however, was deeply meaningful and energizing for our lives? What if prayer was so profound that we didn't want to go a day without it? We would miss it if we didn't have it in our lives. It became the foundation on which our entire lives were built. And it was the practice that grounded, informed, and transformed our lives and made them far richer and more meaningful than we ever thought possible. Can you imagine prayer being like this? Some of you can. I believe prayer can do all of these things and more. Ground, enrich, inform, and transform not only our lives, but the world. And if this is the case, maybe we need to branch out and shake up our prayer lives a bit, or a lot. And that's what this month is about. We'll be discussing it in Bible study on Thursdays, at a prayer workshop on the 23rd, and during worship. Here's the thing, though. Hopefully what you learn you will put into practice, because learning about prayer means nothing if we don't do it. We don't engage it. But we can develop prayer practices that enliven our lives to such a degree that we can't imagine our faith without it. So buckle up, friends. Let's go. Today, as a bit of an introduction to our theme, I want to start by sharing what prayer is and prayer is not. And it can be summed up by the quote by Lisa Terkerst that I placed at the top of your bulletin before the order. She says this: "The reality is, my prayers don't change God, but I am convinced prayer changes me. Praying boldly boots me out of that stale place of religious habit into authentic connection with God himself or herself." Prayer is a way to tune into God, to be in communion with the power that is the source of all creation. Can you imagine tapping in? It's like plugging your little life into a huge transformer and having it explode. That great power, Paul says in our prayers today, that can do infinitely more in us than we could ever ask or imagine. In prayer, we connect to this power, and in this we find our strength, our hope, and our conviction for life. That amazing power. Prayer can lead us into communion with God such that we become one with God, which leads, Paul says, to wisdom, revelation, and a rich knowledge of the Creator. How awesome would that be? In prayer, we find also not only power, but the potential for growth and transformation that instills in us wisdom and truth greater than any wisdom that the world could ever profess. It is a quiet confidence in the way of God. Power, potential. And finally, Paul says, we can be rooted and grounded in love, confident that we can be filled with the fullness of God's love. This is peace. Knowing that we are grounded and held in God's love, we are free to become what we were meant to be. Nothing can surpass this love in the world. Even as we face challenges and suffering in the world, we can be secure and at peace, knowing that God is present and always loving us. In prayer, we begin to know and experience this, the greatest force in the world. And from this place, we can move out into the world to bring healing, hope, and restoration. Power, potential, and peace to be found in deep communion with God when we engage this practice of prayer. And we're going to learn some different practices than maybe we've had. Last summer, while I was on silent retreat out at Kingsfold, I rediscovered my passion for prayer, which I had let get a little dry and musty. I encountered the joy and delight I had at one point in my life found in prayer. We can all do that. I also discovered that there are way more ways to pray than we've been taught or have practiced, and some of those we're going to explore. What I already knew, however, was that prayer was not about changing God or gaining favor with God. Prayer should not be practiced out of obligation, fear, or guilt. Prayer, transformative prayer, is done out of love, gratitude, and a desire for relationship. It shifts our hearts and our minds over time, as any relationship can. It can bring healing, joy, inspiration, and insight. So if you desire more of these things, consider your prayer life, and let's get going, folks. Now is a great time. We're going to spend some moments reflecting on this.